Oscar nominations dropped today, and there's so much to get through. A-Rod and J-Lo have maybe, possibly split. And we're talking about the Grammys with Shiloh Watson. It's March 15th, 2021. Hey friends, I'm Casey Rackham. And joining us today to guest host is our resident advice giver, Stephen LeConte. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Casey. Thanks for having me here.
Of course. And I'm glad you are here today. We have a lot to talk about. Also, a little bit of Bravo later. And, you know, Stephen and I are in the same Bravo group text. So, you know, we're ready for this.
We need to really get into it.
Okay. But starting off, we need to start with the Oscar nominations, which dropped today. And as with every award season, there's some good, but there's still a lot of work to be done. The good news is this year's slate of nominations is the most diverse it's ever been. 9 of the 20 acting nominations went to actors of color. Chloe Zhao was nominated for Best Director for Nomadland. She's the first woman of color to snag that nomination. Emerald Fennell was also nominated for Promising Young Woman. It's the first time two female directors have been nominated in 1 year. And Viola Davis is absolutely crushing it, per usual. With her nomination for Best Actress, she's now the most nominated actress of color ever. But there's still some work to be done. A lot of the Black-led dramas were snubbed for Best Picture, including Davis's film Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yeah, so my question here is, how does Ma Rainey's Black Bottom receive so many, you know, individual awards, but then when it comes to Best Picture, they don't get the Best Picture nomination?
I know, classic snub situation, but... And it's also wild because we now have like 10 options. You know, it's not 5 anymore. It's like 10 movies. We can't put it in as one of the 10.
Which, by the way, I didn't even know that 10 movies came out this year. Like, to be honest with you, a lot of the movies on this list are things I've like not heard of. It's just been such a weird year.
Which is why I think it's also even worse that it wasn't even nominated, you know? And then, you know, talking about the progress and everything like that, it is good to see progress, but it's also so shocking when we say like, it's the first time two female directors have been nominated in one whole year. It's like, come on.
I know. Yeah, a lot of the big signs of progress seem like things that should have happened like maybe in 1975. But it's good they're happening now. You know, I can't complain about that. Meanwhile, Casey, if you've been on the internet at all this past weekend, we absolutely must talk about this potential Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez split, which J-Lo has now denied via TikTok. Multiple outlets have reported that the couple, who've been engaged since 2019, were going to split over rumors that Rodriguez was FaceTiming with Madison LaCroix, one of the stars of Bravo's reality series, Southern Charm. Madison stated that A-Rod never did anything physical with her, and the relationship didn't go beyond FaceTiming. But A-Rod and J-Lo made a statement to TMZ saying, "All the reports are inaccurate. We are working through some things." And J-Lo took to TikTok with her frustrations, putting the headlines about a rumored split over the lyrics, "I ain't worried about a blog or a bitch" from Saweetie's Pretty Bitch Freestyle.
Oh, Stephen, what a day for Bravo fans.
This is a huge day for Bravo fans. One question I have is, does this mean that A-Rod watches Southern Charm on Bravo?
I freaking hope so. Okay, so for people who don't watch Southern Charm, which is understandable because a lot of people don't go past the Real Housewives franchise, although I highly suggest you do.
Yes.
It is absolutely wild because, okay, so there's so many rumors going on, but one of the rumors is that Madison, just like for background, revealed this and her quote unquote relationship with A-Rod because, you know, she was probably trying to make her ex-boyfriend Austin on Southern Charm jealous, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, you know, Southern Charm is like a deep cut even for Bravo fans. And the fact that this show and like a minor plotline on Southern Charm is now like potentially going to break up one of Hollywood's most A-list couples is truly, truly wild to me. I also have to say, like, they're now J-Lo and A-Rod are kind of denying everything, but I don't totally believe their denials because it seems like there's no smoke without fire here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know what? And they've caused a lot of confusion with their denials, but I think that is their tactic. Just like cause confusion and run. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, I'm going to keep talking about Southern Charm.
Absolutely. And also, okay, moving on, it's time to talk about last night's Grammy Awards. Things felt kind of different. Yes, mostly because it's a pandemic, but there were some changes made this year that we'd actually like to see them keep.
It was a big year for women, especially Taylor Swift and Beyonce. But of course, it's not all good news. We're joined by BuzzFeed's Shiloh Watson to break everything down. Hi, Shiloh. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, okay, there's so much to talk about, but we should start with this. Were the Grammys actually kind of good this year? Because, you know, the fact that this happened during a pandemic meant things were scaled down, but that also meant the show moved faster and there were fewer awkward gimmicks. I mean, should they be treating every year like it's a pandemic year going forward?
I mean, look, I'm going to be honest. I did not really have high hopes for this year, but I actually really enjoyed it. And it turned out to be one of my favorite Grammys. You know, every year they advertise it as music's biggest night. And I think that that's great. But sometimes it leads to overdone production value and, you know, too much too often, I guess. So I really appreciated the scale back. As my mother would say, it was tasteful yet fun. but yeah, I really enjoyed it. I loved the sort of outdoor stage they had. I feel like every year, the only kind of outdoor element that we have is the red carpet. So I thought that was really nice, almost like a fancy wedding. And yes, it was not too long. I feel like usually there's a lot of fatigue, like I'm watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy in one sitting or something. So I really did appreciate that. And I really liked that they had, you know, BTS performed in Seoul and, you know, they included owners and managers of amazing like LA spots and like these historic people. So I thought that that was a really great addition too. I thought that they should maybe repeat some of these things next year, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know how they would do it if they go back to like a big auditorium and stuff like that. But one thing I actually loved about it was the intimacy of all of the musicians that are nominated in the same category getting to like be there within close proximity. It just felt like extremely wholesome. And then the same goes for some of the performances when they were like in the same room, like cheering each other on. It just like was a sense of unity that I've never felt from the Grammys before.
I completely agree.
Mm. And then what do you think of Trevor Noah as host? How do you think he did?
I mean, I think everyone wants something different from their host. And I think that some people want someone to be really, really funny. I think sometimes people want someone who is wholesome. And personally, I think that some of his jokes fell a little flat, but I do think that he had great energy and, you know, he didn't have too many flubs. And so I think that overall he did a really great job.
Yeah. Props to him for leading it through a pandemic.
Yes.
Yes. Let's talk about this year's performances. Woo! We got a very censored for TV performance of WAP that was somehow still delightfully raunchy. Everyone's talking about that Harry Styles performance. What were your favorites, Shiloh?
Okay, so I absolutely loved Megan's. I'm not sure if it was intentional, but I spotted what I think was a nod to Almost There in Princess and the Frog, you know, with the white dress and the 1920s flapperness and the yellow background. And I thought that was really sweet. And then of course, Little Baby's performance obviously was very important, very political. He had both Tamika Mallory and Killer Mike there, and it was very reminiscent of George Floyd and the protests. And I think, I forget who exactly said it. I think it was her during her acceptance speech, but music really helped us get through the pandemic, but we have to remember what else happened during the pandemic and what happened over the summer. And I think that his song accomplished both of those things. And the performance was really moving.
Right. I think one of the things her said was, you know, like, let's not lose the energy from, you know, summer of 2020.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So we'll be right back to talk more about the Grammys and Beyonce's big win.
Welcome back. We're talking with Shiloh Watson about last night's Grammys. One of the biggest headlines of the night is the fact that Beyonce has become the most awarded performer in Grammy history with 28 awards, which is amazing. But there are also a few other points to consider, notably that Beyonce chose not to perform this year and that of those 28 wins, only one has been in a major category. How do you think Beyonce and her many fans are reacting to this mixed honor?
Listen, I think that the Beehive will always be hurt that Lemonade did not win any of the big awards that year. And they're going to have to do a lot more to earn their forgiveness. but that being said, it is a huge achievement. But I mean, again, like my mom says, it's not what you say, but how you say it. And I think that that's very true in terms of award shows. I think that it's not just in terms of giving her the award, but it's the awards that they give. And I think that especially because so much of her music is for the Black community, for Black women, it feels like a very layered snub almost, like there's more to it. And so I think that it's fantastic that she was celebrated. And if anyone is going to make history like this, it's going to be Beyonce. But I'm ready for them to really, really put their money where their mouth is and give her some of the big awards.
And, you know, we talked about it, you know, Beyonce didn't perform and she chose not to perform out of solidarity with the weekend's boycott. And then most people didn't think she'd attend, you know, and like you said, she lost in major award categories last night. But something that I thought was really emotional was Blue Ivy now has a Grammy for her performance on Black Parade. And my God, just as a mom, Beyonce was proud.
It was so sweet. Yes. And, you know, I did see, of course, a couple of tweets that were like, Beyonce is only there to pick up Blue Ivy's award.
She did it with great honor. Great honor.
Yes. And it's like, I love that Beyonce is including Blue in these, you know, songs and these videos. And I can't wait to see when Rumi and Sir are a little bit older, then be included as well. But it really does seem like music is a family affair. So I just love that for them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, on top of that, another big moment was Billie Eilish's surprise record of the year win. She beat out Megan Thee Stallion, but ended up dedicating the win to her. What kind of reaction has that move been getting online?
So I want to just shout out Chrissy Teigen's tweet about it, because she did tweet that it sucks to win record of the year because everyone thinks that you don't deserve it. And I think that that's absolutely true. I think that, you know, Billie did this in previous years as well, trying to basically downplay her award and saying she's so embarrassed to win. And that could be a personality trait, but I also think that that's very built in the industry, especially as a woman, that you feel like you don't deserve what you get.
A young woman too.
Exactly. Only 19. And I think that while, you know, Megan did an amazing, had an amazing year. And I think that Billie definitely wanted to acknowledge it. And I love when all of the winners shout out the other nominees. I think it's important that she own up to her success. Like, she kicked ass and that was a great song. And I just wish that she appreciated it a little bit more the way her fans appreciate her.
And like you mentioned, age 19, that's some imposter syndrome if I've ever seen it.
It really is. And like, again, I can relate to that, but you know, I think it's important that even if we have to work to remind ourselves that we do deserve it, she did work really hard. It was a really personal song that she put out with her brother and it means a lot to her. And I think that she should acknowledge it and want to celebrate it. And I love that she shouted out Megan and I think that Megan appreciated it. But at the same time, I do hope that in the future, with any future wins, she thinks to herself, yeah, I deserve this. I worked for this.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And speaking of women, frankly, kicking butt at the Grammys, we do want to point out women swept all the major categories this year. Megan did grab Best New Artist, her won Song of the Year, Taylor Swift won Best Album of the Year for the third time, the first woman to do that. Does this say anything positive about the direction of the music industry?
It does. And, you know, I think that women have been notoriously mistreated in the music industry. So it's great to see that they are finally being acknowledged. I just worry that, you know, the Recording Academy is going to get a little complacent and be like, well, we gave them 2021. And we can scale it back again. No, we need to persevere and like keep putting women forward and keep acknowledging their incredible work and all that they do for the industry. And so while I think it's great to celebrate these wins, we need to look ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, finally, there were snubs during the In Memoriam segment that have people really upset. You know, first, people thought Eddie Van Halen deserved a bigger mention than he received. Naya Rivera was left out of the show entirely. Doesn't it feel like no award show ever gets this part right?
Yeah, and honestly, I don't think that they ever will. isn't to say that they shouldn't strive to, but what I like to remember or remind myself of is that with this In Memoriam in particular, the snubs are not intentional. No one is choosing to specifically leave people out. And I think no one will ever be happy. Like, you know, I'm sure Naya Rivera's fans are like, well, at least Eddie Van Halen was included. Well, his fans are like, he should have had a bigger moment. So no one's ever going to be 100% satisfied. But I do think it's important that we remember that it's not just the celebrities that we know who need to be remembered. I think about all the faces and all the names of the people we lost who were instrumental to the industry behind the scenes and how it's important that we acknowledge them and take the time to do that. So who knows how many of those people were left out, you know? So I think it's just important that we have perspective and know that when we lose someone who's important to us, obviously it's always going to be hard, but that people are not doing it out of malice when they're getting left out.
Well, Shyla, thank you so much for joining us today and breaking down the Grammys for us.
Of course. I'm happy to be here. Thanks again.
All right. That's it for today. Come back and join us tomorrow.
And remember, if Madison from Southern Charm could potentially take down J-Rod, you should never doubt yourself. Be sure to subscribe to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you go for your sound stories.
And please take the time to leave us a rating and a review. It helps us figure out what you like about the show versus what you love about the show. And remember to come back for more of what you love about BuzzFeed, coming to you daily.